All right, turn to 1 John chapter 2 and look at verse 15. Now, I'm not going to give you everything that 1 John chapter 2 has to say, because it's going to deal with another subject soon, and that is the subject of the world. Our subject tonight is the flesh and the eyes. Last week, our subject was trouble with the mind. Okay, 1 John chapter 2, look at verse 15, and notice what I say, 15, and I really meant 16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Notice those two subjects right there. It's 1 John 2:16. You can make the change if you want to on your paper. Notice the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes is not of the Father, but is of the world. All right, now, if you'll remind yourself a little bit about what we studied last week, just as a brief refresher, the beginning trouble in temptation has to do with your mind. Immediately we want to blame the devil. Oh, the devil's messing with my mind. Well, the devil has a part in that, and he'll get his lesson too. But a lot of it just has to do with what you've been cooking up in your mind. Like one fellow said, you can't keep the birds from passing through your brain, but you don't have to build a bird nest for them. You remember that? Yeah, to lodge in there. And then last week, when Brother Muldoon, or the beginning of this week, when Brother Muldoon was here, he said, sow a thought. I wrote that down for you. Reap a desire, sow a desire, reap an act, sow an act, reap a habit, sow a habit, reap a character. It starts with the thinking. All right, so we need to remember that. But then after the thinking, there are a couple of other areas that get involved, your eyes and your flesh. And you need to be concerned about those, because both of those, according to 1 John 2:16, have lusts, the lusts of the eyes and the lust of the flesh. Now, the eyes themselves are not a bad thing. God, the Bible says God made the seeing eye. The in and of itself is not a bad thing. Don't you read the Bible with your eyes? Yeah. Aren't you, when you're witnessing to somebody or trying to help somebody, when you're counseling them or comforting them, checking their eyes to see? I mean, it gives you a lot of insight. The eye is the light of the body. And so, yes, a wonderful thing. And your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. In and of itself, it's not a bad thing. But the lust of the eye and the lust of the flesh, that's where the trouble is, because those things are not of the Father, they're of the world. And lust, I gave you a definition for it in your handout. Lust is the desire to gratify the senses or bodily appetites, including sexual desires. And the trouble is, these lusts can never be satisfied. All right, now, let me ask you something. Some of you are going to go in there and eat cupcakes tonight. Yummy? What senses do those appeal to in your body? Huh? Your taste buds? Your olfactory senses, you can smell those things as they're right under your nose going down. I know you guys are going to have a hard time staying here praying, some of you, for wanting to be the first ones in there to get the cupcakes. All right? What else? They get in your belly, and your belly, you're like, wow, that's good. That's good, right? And they're very pretty, decorated really nicely, and that kind of thing. Your senses get very involved in that. Some people tell me that they've been having a smoking problem. One of the habits they had to break was what they were doing with their fingers. You know, those body. But let me ask you something. You wouldn't, well, you may want to try, but you wouldn't want to try to live on cupcake. I mean, like I said, you may want to try, but, you know, particularly if you're a kid. But after a while, you would recognize that there's a problem. This is not nourishing my body. Right? It is doing something else to me. Do you know that desire, that sweet tooth we call it sometimes, or all those other things, you will never satisfy that. You will never satisfy it. Look in Proverbs chapter 27 and look at verse 20. Proverbs chapter 27, look at verse 20. People like to go to the mall, and they like to go window shopping. They go to New York and walk down Fifth Avenue, all that. They like to go window shopping. Not everybody, but some people do. The mall makes me sleepy. I don't know. It's like taking drugs. All I want to do is go find one of those benches and lie down and go to sleep. Proverbs chapter 27, and look at it. Amen. Proverbs chapter 27, look at verse 20. Hell and destruction are never full, so the eyes of man are never satisfied. That is written by the God that made your eyes. Now, that's why we say you've got to be so careful with the television and the internet and magazines and all those other kind of things, because if you ever see anything that catches the attention of your eye and you're like, wow, that, boy, I like that. You ever catch that, you have opened a pathway into something that awakens that sensation in your body and in your heart and in your flesh and in your mind, and that appetite will be insatiable. You will never get enough. Nobody wants to amen that because you all know it's true. All right? Go to James. Go to James. Chapter 1, eyes of men, the Bible says, are never satisfied. There's your fill in the blank. Now this verse here, James chapter 1, verses 14 and 15, these two verses here are fabulous, excellent commentary on the work of lust. Listen to what verse 14 says. But every man is tempted when the devil comes to tempt him. Is that what it says? No. No. Every man. I mean, he's not talking about just some of you. He's talking about all of us. Every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. So there's your fill in the blank. Drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. So here's the thing, that stuff is in your body already. That lust is there. What you want to do, and for some of us unfortunately it's too late, is you want to keep that lust from even conceiving. And so there is a principle in there where that lust wants to manifest itself, and it's trying to draw you away and entice you so that you will then begin to sin, and then in that sin you will die. You take a guy that has his first drink. All right, he's drawn away to that because when he grows up at home, he knows he's not supposed to do that. Parents tell him not to do that and so forth and so on. It's an amazing thing in this country. I'm telling you, boy, money rules. Alcohol is responsible for the death of a lot more people than cigarettes, but cigarettes are the ones that get the Surgeon General's warning and everybody else. Booze pays. You watch any Olympics? Booze pays for sports, advertising. And it's acceptable. Why? Because the government makes, I don't know, $10 billion in tax revenue off of it or something every year. You know, it was prohibited until they found a way to tax it. Then it became legal. Right? All right, so you know, it's not. But anyway, what happens then is you are drawn away by a friend or somebody. Says, here, take this. You do it. You take a drink. Well, wow, that's enticing because it gives me this feeling. And so you say, you know what I want to do is try to satisfy that feeling. You will never satisfy that feeling. And you will drink yourself drunk with cirrhosis of the liver or a car wreck or multiple other problems trying to satisfy that. I just made a statement here in bold. The sin conceived by lust will kill a man before he can satisfy the lust that conceived a sin. And that's true. Now, you know, and you can't judge, one of us can't judge another by the sins we've conquered in our own lives. You may say, well, I'm strong in that area. You'll be weak in another. And the other guy may be strong in an area where you're weak, okay? So concerning the flesh, what we want to look at tonight is we want to look at some practical things that you and I can do to combat temptation in our lives. The Bible deals with that. Now, in another lesson, we'll deal with some spiritual matters because there's a whole lot Jesus Christ, the Word of God, and the Spirit of God do for us, but there are some practical measures you can take. And the thing about it is, once we become Christians, we say, well, the devil's messing with me, and I got to look to Jesus to solve this problem, and we don't want to take any responsibility for the things that we can do. But the truth of the matter is, there are some things you can do and should be doing. So we're going to look at that. Romans chapter 13, look at verse 14. Romans 13, 14. Very simple, very, very simple, practical consideration. The Bible says, Romans chapter 13, verse 14. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not, here's the word, provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. If you're on a diet, for instance, in your house, the rest of your family may have to suffer with you, but you got to get some things out of the pantry and out of the refrigerator. If you don't, you're going to continue to have problems with them, because the lust of the flesh will eventually draw you to that stuff. And if it's there, you've made provision. That's what we call those things in the pantry, provisions. If you made provision for those things, you're eventually going to get into them. You say, well, I'm going to buy this big old bag of bonbons here, and I'm just going to eat one a day until you get into an emotional state, and then you kill the bag. And then you say, okay, now next time I go to HEB, I'm going to buy me another bag of it, and I'm just going to eat one a day. You're just, all you're doing is making provision for the flesh. Okay? Can't do that. And that's a practical thing. You see, that's not the devil drawing you. That's not the Lord giving you strength. It's just, I'm going to put those things out of my house. I'm not going to have trouble with this anymore. Okay? Very practical, very simple thing. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. Okay, the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, here's the deal. Abstain from fleshly lust which war against the soul. Abstain. You know, right now there's this big thing going on about public schools and how they're dealing with sex education, all right? And a lot of people are saying, well, they ought to teach abstinence, right? Let me ask you something. Do you think that's a good, you think that would be a good thing to teach, just teach abstinence? All right, it's one thing to teach it, it's another thing to put it into practice, correct? All right, however, if a person said in his life or her life, I am going to abstain from whatever that is, you may be tempted, but if you have enough willpower and enough conviction to say, I'm not going to do that, then you can do what they say, just say no to and abstain from it. You say, well, this thing is really kicking me around the block. You know, it's an interesting thing. I think, you know, all of us in here have lived long enough to know that when you're tempted to a certain type of thing, the pressure to give in to that temptation is like a wave. There are times when it's really on you, and there are other times when you're not thinking about it. Is that right? All right. What you have to do is you have to abstain through that period of anxiety, temptation, pressure, whatever it is, until it gets into that point where it's low enough that it doesn't bother you so much. Is that? It's just practical. Just practical. Abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. 2 Timothy 2:22. 2 Timothy 2:22. Now, Paul tells us, while you're turning to 2 Timothy 2:22, Paul tells us that there's a crown, an incorruptible crown for men that can maintain some self-control over their body. He says, I'm going to compare this with athletes. He says, they're athletes and many run the race, only one wins the prize. Did any of you see an interview with Phelps? What's his first name? Michael Phelps. Okay, what did you see an interview with him after he got the silver in the race that he'd won the gold in a couple of times? What was that, the breast or the fly? I can't remember which one. Did you see the interview with him? Anybody? All right. He lost the race by 1/100th of a second, and he led the race the entire way. All right, and right at the end, coming in to touch Patty, he was, I don't know, his hands were that far and much in front of the guy from South Africa, and as he was coming in to touch, that other guy made one more kick and touched 1/100th of a second, or 5/100ths of a second, whatever it was, before Michael Phelps did. And they interviewed him and asked him what happened at the end of that race. And he said, I had become lazy in my workouts on the finishes, and it cost me today. I had become lazy on my finishes. Listen, when the Bible says one wins the race, that's the guy that's able to suppress certain things that his body desires to do. You know, when you've been working out, and you've swum 10,000 miles, you get to the end of that thing, you're like, man, I've done this 10,000 times. Just when you let down your guard and say, you know what, I have fought against this thing. I'm not going to let down my, I got it. I'm cruising now. It's when you get in trouble. Okay? So you really got to put up. That's the thing that says, man, when I say I'm going to abstain, I am going to abstain. Okay. 2 Timothy 2:22. Flee also youthful lust. Now, flee also youthful lust is part of the equation that you can do, but notice there's another part. Follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Two things you do. You get rid of one, you put on the other. If I flee youthful lust, I got to be following something good. Why? If I don't, I'm going to be aimless and go right back into the same thing again. Now, the problem he says there is flee also youthful lust. Well, let me tell you, some of us have almost lived 70 years. Some of us have lived 70. Some of us have lived whatever, more than that. And those youthful lusts aren't gone yet. You understand? And so some of that stuff is just idiocy. Some of that idiocy stays with us for a long time. He says what you got to do is you got to run from one and you got to follow the other. Okay? Practical. Psalm 101 verse 3. If you have trouble with your eyes, then there are certain things you ought not to look at. Psalm 101 verse 3. David said, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. Now, what's wicked? Well, some preacher that came here from Alabama before he got turned around for the Lord said he was wicked. You know, a lot of wicked things. You know, how many times have we heard different men that have come here and they said, you know, we're supposed to be in a recession, boy, but that's true. I went to such a restaurant, boy, you wouldn't know we're in a recession yet. You know what's happened? There are some people who have already run out of money and they're about to run out of debt. And they cannot control their spending because when they go wherever those things are on display, they don't have the strength to keep from buying. You know what that is? That's wicked. Why? Because eventually they're not going to be able to pay their bills, and that's going to lead to another level of problems. If you cannot hold off spending money at a good sale for something you really don't need, don't go. That's the best amen I've heard all night. Yeah, amen. Amen. I understand. I've gone way into meddling, you know, and I'm going to get bit. I got that dog by the ears now, buddy, and he's chomping and barking right now. I'm telling you, he wants all over me. But that's where it starts. You see that thing, and it's, wow, boy, I sure would like one of those. You know, listen, don't you know, let's just talk honestly. You go to the restaurant, right? Waitress comes by, and she says, anybody here want dessert? Well, you're already full. You're like, oh, are you kidding me? No way. They don't sell many desserts, but you go to that restaurant where they've already got those things all made up like that on the tray, and they walk by like that, and they say, how about a dessert? Somebody's going to give in and buy one of those. You may end up with 6 spoons and everybody gets a bite, or you may end up with 6 desserts, but the fact they showed it to you, see, it makes the sale. Amen. That's right. They know what's going on. Our television advertising knows what's going on. They display that thing out there in front of you long enough until you just cannot resist. And then you got to have it. All right, Job 31:1, right before Psalms. Here's another. David said, I'm not going to set that before my eyes. Because he knew what it would. If anybody knew about that, David knew about that and the trouble he had with Bathsheba. The whole thing came because of what he saw. Job 31:1. Job says, I made, here it is, a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? Get it in front of your eyes, start thinking about it. Start thinking about it, you're going to do it. Now he said, I made a covenant with mine eyes. Now, did Job have the same situation that you have right now with a spiritual birth and his flesh circumcised away from? No, he you know, saved man, yes, but he didn't have a lot of the things that come with the new birth that you have after receiving Jesus Christ your Savior. This guy said, at least I used some of my own strength here. We can do the same thing. You didn't lose that when you got saved. And then Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, again, here's one of those, one negative thing, one positive thing. Get rid of one, add the other. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, verse 24, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Now, you know, that lesson we did last week was really helpful to me. You got a carnal mind and a spiritual mind. Which one are you going to think with? You know what the Bible says? The natural man receiveth not the things of God, for they're spiritually discerned, neither can he receive them because they're spiritually discerned. All right? If you try to deal with your Bible in a carnal mind, you're not going to get anything out of it. Or you'll make a mess. Likewise, if you try to live the spiritual life in the old man, you're going to make a mess out of it. You live the spiritual life in the new man. So you got to put that on and put the other one off. Okay, now there's two really good reasons here to combat these temptations, and then we'll be through. So far, is this working for you? Okay, all right. If you want to make sure this is profitable, or we'll do it another way. There are many reasons, but I'm going to give you two really good reasons to combat these temptations. They're both found in Psalms. The first one is in Psalms 106. Psalm 106. Okay? Tremendous passage of Scripture here. Psalm 106, we're going down here and we're seeing a history of Israel coming out of Egypt, going across the Red Sea, and wandering around out in the wilderness and some of the bad things that happened to them. Verse 14, they lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tempted God in the desert. And he gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul. I tell you, that's a scary passage of Scripture. When you talk about fear of God, that is a scary passage of Scripture. Because here's the deal. If you lust exceedingly, and listen, we all have it, okay? It manifests itself in different ways, but we all have lust in this flesh. It comes with the equipment, all right? You lust and God gives you your request and sends leanness into your soul, it is going to affect every spiritual thing you're involved in. It'll affect your appetite for Bible, your appetite for prayer, your appetite for fellowship with the Lord, your appetite for spiritual things, your appetite for heavenly conversation. A lot of people that end up out of church and backslidden, you know what happened to them? They started praying for and seeking after some carnal requests. They got a hold of those things, and leanness came in their soul. Next thing you know, appetite for spiritual matters gone. That is a problem. And then Psalm 81. Another really tough reason to go after these practical matters and put them into practice. Psalm 81, verse 12. The Lord is again speaking of the Israel. See, verse 10, he brought them out of the land of Egypt. He said, open thy mouth wide, I'll fill it. Verse 11, but my people would not hearken to my voice, Israel would none of me. So I gave them up unto their own heart's lust, and they walked in their own counsels. I gave them up. I'm going to tell you something. You don't want to ever get there with God. You don't want to ever get there with God. There are some folks that were in this church that aren't here now, some folks that you know in your life that were living close to the Lord that aren't now. You know what happened? They started chasing after those lusts, and God just took his hand off and said, okay, you want those things? And at some point, they're thinking, you know what? I'm okay. God didn't kill me for this. I feared God. I thought I was going to have a wreck starting to do this. God didn't do that. My money didn't dry up. Blah, 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 whatever the case may be. They're looking for some sort of evidence that God was going to get them. And God gave them over those lusts. And the next thing, they're walking in their own counsels. and they are so far out of fellowship with God, they don't even know their way back. That is a bad place to be. Bad place to be. You know what happened to every single one of them but two that did that in the wilderness? They all died and didn't make it to the promised land. They just wandered around aimlessly. You know, you do not want to do that in your Christian life. Just wander around aimlessly in your Christian life, just bouncing from deal to deal and thing to thing till Jesus comes. It's not good. Amen? All right. So that's the second part of dealing with temptation. Hopefully we'll get good at it by learning about it. Amen? Father, we're thankful tonight for a chance to study these things. We ask you, please, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to really help us. We want to please you, and we don't want to fall prey to these things, and so we ask you to really help us to be good stewards of the things we're learning and to be able to put these things into practice for Jesus' sake. Amen.